So the Vatican is the headquarters of the Catholic Church, and it's actually its own country, and it has its own king. It's one of the most interesting phenomena in the world, so let's talk about it. Hey guys, I'm Father David Michael Moses. If you enjoy these types of videos, please make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out on future content. So the Vatican actually is the smallest country in the world and has a population of about 800 people. And this actually leads to some really funny things that I will share at the end. So the Pope used to rule a country called the Papal States. That's when the Vatican was built. It was always kind of a nice tradition to believe that St. Peter was buried below the altar there, but no one knew for sure until 1942 when the graves were excavated and the body of St. Peter was discovered directly below the altar of the Basilica. Kind of amazing how precise the location was. So at one point, the Kingdom of Italy conquered the Papal States. I found a nice video that can explain more.
The Vatican, it's not a building, but an independent sovereign state. But given its size and the fact that it exists entirely encased by the city of Rome, the obvious question is, why? Why is the Vatican an independent country? Well, to begin, the Vatican has previously been at the heart of an independent state, the Papal States, which came into existence in the 8th century when it was cut off from the remnants of the Byzantine Empire in Italy when the Lombards conquered this territory. Victor Emmanuel wanted Rome, and so, after the Pope refused a peaceful annexation, he ordered an invasion. The Vatican was placed under siege, and the Pope made it clear that whoever ordered the assault on the city would be excommunicated.
So when you're the Pope, you can do stuff like that? You can say, hey, whoever attacks is going to get kicked out of the church? And yeah, I mean, the Pope wanted to stay independent, of course.
Which the Italians got around by finding a Jewish soldier and getting him to do it instead because you can't excommunicate someone who isn't Christian.
Golly, that is a wild story, but you gotta say fair play on that. Fair play.
The city was taken and Rome became Italy's new capital, after which its rulers and popes there promptly went back to ignoring each other. So when did things change? There had been numerous attempts to change the Vatican status, but all failed. Because, you know, God's representative on earth. Italian leaders wanted the Pope's status sorted since the church had immense sway on voters, but also they wanted their new nation to remain territorially intact. It was in the late 1920s when the Italian Prime Minister Benito Mussolini pushed for a permanent solution. After some negotiations, the Italian and papal government...
Okay, so up until this point, they were kind of in a standoff. They didn't really want to risk a religious civil war, and people just kind of assumed the Pope would just give up. But 60 years and five popes later, things were exactly the same, and finally Mussolini says, okay, we need to do something about this.
Governments came to an agreement, the Lateran Accords. This established the Vatican City as an independent nation made up of this territory in the city of Rome, making it the smallest nation in the world. The Italian government agreed to pay compensation to the Pope for lands lost in the previous century, whereas the Vatican agreed to adopt all Italian laws for the purposes of cross-border enforcement.
So they kind of strike a compromise. Mussolini gives the land of the Vatican to the Pope, and he also gives him some money kind of in reparation for other lands that have been lost. But the Pope and the Vatican also kind of agree to have the same laws as Italy, so things work well together.
And even after the fall of Mussolini and the end of the Italian monarchy in 1946, the new Italian Republic agreed to continue to recognize the treaty as the foundation for the Vatican City State, which remains in force to this day. In the end, it's important to realize that the existence of an independent nation ran from the Vatican by the Pope is not unusual, but in fact had been the norm for over 1,000 years. Barring a few interruptions.
So the Vatican actually has its own government, which means it has its own laws, its own policies, its own jail even. They issue their own license plates. They have their own bank, stamps. They even have their own top-level domain, .va. And what especially makes it unique is who the Pope is. So the Pope is the Bishop of Rome, which gives him a place of primacy in the Universal Church. But you might have heard this term, the Holy See. And the term Holy See refers to essentially the seat of the Pope. So even though popes change, the Holy See is consistent. It's kind of like Catholic Church Incorporated. It's actually a legal corporate person in international law. What's interesting is that the Vatican, not only does it have a Pope, it also has a king. It's one of only 6 absolute monarchies left in the world today. Now, why don't you usually hear about the king of the Vatican? Well, because it's the Pope. Actually, because the Vatican is an absolute monarchy, it can't join the European Union because only democracies are allowed. What makes the monarchy interesting is that the Pope is elected. We just had the conclave, the cardinals come together, they elect the Pope. So that makes the Vatican, I think this is so interesting, the Vatican is the world's only elected, non-hereditary, which means it's not passed on by blood like it is in England, absolute monarchy in the world. It is just really, really unique how this has ended up. Some fun facts, the ATMs at the Vatican actually have instructions in Latin because that's the official language of the Catholic Church. And most of the citizens of the Vatican are citizens because they work there, their staff or their clergy, or so they have some reason to be part of that system. But one interesting aspect of the Lateran Treaty with regard to citizenship is that if a Vatican citizen during the course of their work loses their job, which would probably imply losing their citizenship, then upon completion of their work, then they are actually automatically granted Italian citizenship. So it seems to be a very good relationship there. Another fun fact, one of the iconic things about St. Peter's Square is that there's a huge obelisk in the middle. It's 130 feet high and actually weighs 700,000 pounds. And it was brought from Egypt by the Romans and is now 4,000 years old. Can you imagine? It weighs 700,000 pounds and they brought it 4,000 years ago from Egypt. I mean, the technology is just kind of insane. Also, I think this is kind of funny. Because the Vatican is such a low population country per capita, the Vatican has the highest crime rate of any country in the world. Now, this is really only because of tourism and petty crimes, but the fact still stands. Because it has such a small population, it also has the highest rate of popes per capita of any country in the world too. Ha, ha, ha. But here's the thing that is actually most important about the Vatican. A friend of mine just actually highlighted this for me. I hadn't really thought too much about this before. Every other religious leader in the world is in some way subject to a government. It's subject to a political system. It's part of someone else's country. Now, hopefully that doesn't interfere with them being able to live and express their faith fully, but the reality still stands that they're part of some kind of political system that they're not in control of. What's unique about the Pope, because he has his own country, he's a king, he doesn't have to answer to anyone else except God. The Italian government can't control him. The German government can't control him. The US government can't control him. He has his own country. He is free to live out the teachings of the church and the teachings of Christ without any kind of oppression or interruption from someone else. He has the freedom not to oppress, but the freedom to live the fullness of the faith, to really be a leader who doesn't have any other political interests or ulterior motives, but is really able to focus on serving the people well. I just think that's really cool. You might have heard people say that the ideal political system is if you have a benevolent monarch, if you have a good king. Right now, that often doesn't happen. Oftentimes, people with lots of power go corrupt, which is why monarchies are not very common these days. But in an ideal world, the best case scenario is just to have a really, really good king. It's like having a really good dad. That's what your hope is. Because then he doesn't have to go through the red tape of some political system to do good things. He can just do good things because he's in charge and can do what he wants. That is Christianity. We believe Christ is king. He is a good king who loves us and lays down his life for us. And the hope for the Pope is that he's a good king, that he's a benevolent monarch, that he loves his people and there isn't another government that's getting in the way. There isn't a political system that he has to fight through. He can just lay down his life for his people in love. That's the hope. I'm sure there's things I missed about this, just a brief overview. So let me know in the comments what you guys think about this stuff, and we will see you in the next one. Thanks so much. God bless.